This evening we shall look again at the prophet Jeremiah, and we have entered into the 28th chapter, or we shall be. Jeremiah chapter 28. Before we consider together one of the many incidents that took place in the life of the prophet, let us pray and ask the Lord to grant us to be profited by looking at His Word. So let us pray together. Our blessed God, You have revealed to us that all of Your Word is profitable for Your people. And this night, as we look at one of Your servants that lived centuries ago, may we gain from his life, may we have a better understanding of how to stand and witness your truth. And may we see that your word does not return void, but it always accomplishes that which you please. And so this night, give us eyes to see wondrous things. Through Jesus we ask, amen. You knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. But you knew it was going to happen. What am I referring to? A clash between two people. You've seen it happen before at the office, in the shop, out in the field, at school, even at a church gathering. Two people. Two very strong personalities, and they clash. There's no compromise between them. They bump heads. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've been mulling over this matter of somebody that you've determined. If they say that again, if they do that again, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I wonder where they got this authority with which they like to strut around with. You've determined there's going to be a clash of personalities. Well, again, all down through the centuries, since the fall of Adam, clashes have taken place between the true religion and the false religion. Well, tonight we look at a clash that takes place between a false prophet and the true prophet, Jeremiah. It's recorded for us in this 28th chapter. And it happened in the time of the year at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hanani, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen! The Lord do so! The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, Even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. The prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, You have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Amen. Well, as we look back over this particular chapter, let us first of all note a confrontation. Obviously, as you have heard, there is a confrontation. God's truth brings about a confrontation with evil. As regards the time, the place of this confrontation, we pick it up in the opening verse. And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 4th year and in the 5th month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying. And so here is a confrontation. We understand the kingship involved. And it takes place in the house of the Lord. It takes place in the temple area. And as we've said before, it was not uncommon for the people to go into the temple area and you would find prophets and they would be preaching. In fact, you recall that the Lord sent Jeremiah to do just that when you go back to chapter 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord saying, Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house. And speak to all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word. And so we don't know exactly where this took place. Maybe on temple steps, maybe at the entrance of a gate. And I think it's lawful to use our imagination to say, the temple area was very crowded at this time. Maybe it was a Sabbath day. Maybe some kind of a special holiday. There were a lot of people there. You notice it makes mention of the priests. It makes mention of the people. And you recall our Lord Jesus Christ. There were times when he did his teaching in the temple area. Well, who is the one that confronts Jeremiah? Well, we notice that his name is Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet. And he was from Gibeon. Now, Gibeon was a city in Benjamin, about 8 miles northwest of Jerusalem. It was a priestly city. And so it appears that perhaps Hananiah had the same kind of background as Jeremiah did. And you know, he's referred to as the prophet. That's what it does here in the Hebrew. But if I remember correctly, you look over the Septuagint, it's a word pseudo. He's a false prophet. That's how they translate it, because they know. But here Jeremiah simply refers to him as the prophet, because that's how the people looked upon him. That's how he portrayed himself, as a prophet. And so here we are in the temple area, and I think we use our imagination. It's very crowded. And here you have Hananiah, and maybe he's standing there with fellow prophets. Some of the priests are talking. They're in an elevated area, the steps, and looking out in the crowd, of course. And then all of a sudden, Hananiah, he sees Jeremiah. And as you recall, Jeremiah was to wear a yoke. So here's the prophet Jeremiah in the crowd, and he's got this yoke on. How big it was, I do not know. And there were probably a lot of people who outside the city came to the temple. They looked at this guy with the yoke and said, what a weirdo. But you see all kinds of people at the temple, you know. And so Hananiah looks, and something within him begins to boil up. Perhaps one or two people here, you know about that experience. There's just a certain person or maybe a couple of people, you just see them. And something is triggered within you. Boy, wouldn't you like to either say something or do something. That person stirs you up. He sees Jeremiah. And it appears to me there is this face-to-face confrontation. And so you notice what Jeremiah says here. He says that he spoke to me in the house of the Lord. This wasn't a private conversation. He spoke to me. He got in my face. He came up to me and he had some things to say. And like I say, it was not private what he had to say. For you note what is said here. It speaks about the priests. It speaks about the people. Before the eyes of the priests. And so there's this great crowd of people around Jeremiah. And here's Hananiah right in his face. Well, this isn't the first time that Jeremiah has been confronted, you see, with prophets and priests. You go back again to chapter 26. And now it happened in verse 8, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him. You're going to die. And so this was not something totally new to Jeremiah, to be surrounded by people, to be surrounded by angry people, even to have them take hold of him. And so here is this Hananiah, as we would say, is in the face of Jeremiah. But I would guess this man is a very arrogant prophet. And he's in the face of Jeremiah, but he looks around and he can see that the people are watching, and they're going to listen. And so you notice the message of Hananiah. He brings it out this way. Verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. My, doesn't that sound like a prophet? Doesn't that sound like Jeremiah, how he would introduce a message from the Lord? And so here is Hananiah. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will bring back to the palace Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Well, I have no way of knowing that. Would I be wrong in thinking that the people, there were shouts, Amen! Maybe even clapping their hands, Yes! Oh, what a message. What a message. And you see the false prophet, he gives them, it's very informative. Here's the information, here's things they didn't know. And of course, it's very comforting. It's what they wanted to hear. And as you very well know, the history of Israel, the people always loved the false prophets. Always loved those who said, peace, peace. And they had some scripture they could bring forth out of place that I will place my name here forever. Well, that's the temple. And we're the people of God. And so here, you have Hananiah, you have a confrontation with Jeremiah. And so we are simply reminded, are we not, that there will be those times, because of our faith, because of the truth of God, that we will experience some confrontations with unbelievers, with those who hate the Christian religion. Oh, it may not be as bad as this one, but I think every Christian here knows what I'm talking about. Some form, some fashion, some time or another, there is that confrontation, or we might even describe it as that head-on collision. You see, there is this head-on collision between truth and falsehood, between those who love God and between those who hate Him. And so here we have this confrontation between Hananiah and Jeremiah. But then in the second place, we want to look at the confirmation. God confirms the message of His prophets. And so we'll pick it up here. You notice you look at verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen! The Lord do so! The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. And I suggest to you that these are rather puzzling words to me. Jeremiah knew that Hananiah was a false prophet. He knew that Hananiah was not speaking the truth. Why does he respond this way? Well, I only take a guess. What he was doing when he said, Amen, the Lord do so, he was expressing some irony in the sense, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if the Lord did that? That would be fabulous! But it's not true. It's just not true. You notice he goes on, Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing, and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. And so he appeals to knowledge of the people and even knowledge to Hananiah. You know the history of the prophetic ministry. By and large, we'd have to say it was negative. It was against countries. And we have some prophets who spoke against Israel. They spoke against Judah. You have an example in Amos. You have an example in Elijah. You have it in others. They spoke about disaster and pest. But as for the prophet who prophesies peace, you don't find too many of them, do you? And so we'll wait and see. And you remember how Moses set forth this matter concerning a prophet, if he was a true prophet or not. And it comes out, you remember in Deuteronomy, if what he has to say comes to pass, then you know that he is a true prophet. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Well, here they would have to wait 2 years, wouldn't they? Because Hananiah said, this will happen in 2 years. Jeremiah says, we'll have to see if this comes to pass. Now you might think that Hananiah would respond, that's right, bro. Time will tell that I've spoken the truth. It's a message from God. But that's not what he does. And so you notice what takes place. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, Even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And I think I could see in my mind's eye that he did this with a great deal of strut, walking up to Jeremiah, taking the yoke off, casting it down and breaking it, perhaps it was out of wood. Man, what an illustrative sermon. The people saw, the people heard. And he speaks arrogantly. The people undoubtedly are greatly impressed and they are excited. But then you notice the statement. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. He just walked away. What could he do? As we say in sports, boy, the momentum has really shifted to Hananiah's side. What could he do? And the Lord has not given him here any kind of special revelation, not any kind of a message. He walked away. He had spoken the truth. He had given forth the testimony of the Lord. And now, he walks away. We have those times, don't we? The best thing to do, the proper thing to do is you walk away. There's nothing else to be said. And so Jeremiah walks away. And that brings us to the third point, the commission. God commissions his prophets to speak. And so we pick it up in verse 12. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah. How soon after? How much time has elapsed? I have no idea. But the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, You have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I put a yoke of iron on the necks of all the nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have also given him the beasts of the field. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. And in the original, there's kind of a play on words. I've not sent you, but I'm going to cast you away. It's the same word. One's got an intensified stem there. I didn't send you. But I'm going to send you away. I am going to cast you away. Hananiah, you're going to die. You are going to die. And you notice some reasons that are given. He says, Hananiah, I've not sent you. But you make this people trust in a lie. A lie. They're trusting in a lie. You spoke a lie. People have put their confidence in your lie. This matter of lies, I think it's Isaiah says with reference to the people, they have made lies their refuge. Jonathan Edwards made a great sermon out of that. people find refuge, they find shelter in lies. Lies! It started back in the garden, didn't it? You shall not surely die! And they believed the lie. And now you and I, we have death hanging over our heads. And the devil, what is it? Well, he's the father of lies. And this very night, there are millions upon millions upon millions of people who are going to perish because they believe a lie. Millions believe lies about God and His character, believe lies about the person and work of Christ, believe lies about their salvation. They believe lies of some cult that has come forth or some false religion. Millions perish. They're believing a lie. Is our God. He's the God of truth. Thy word is truth, said Jesus. We are begotten again by the word of truth. We are sanctified by the truth. But something else is said here. You have taught rebellion against the Lord. In other words, the message that was set forth by Hananias contradicted the message that had been set forth by Jeremiah from the Lord. And so to disobey the words of Jeremiah was to disobey the words of God. You have taught rebellion against the Lord. And doesn't this speak to us very soberly? James says, desire not to be many teachers, brethren. Receive the greater judgment. And you remember Jesus said, woe to those who teach contrary or nullify any of my commandments. You have taught rebellion. And Hananiah, you're going to die. You notice the last verse? So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. When did he confront Jeremiah, in the fifth month, 2 months from the statement of Jeremiah, he died. Jeremiah was the true prophet. Jeremiah's word was fulfilled. And so again, let us consider as we enter into the week or the weeks ahead, that as far as our testimony, as far as our witness for Christ, we will have some confrontations. You speak the truth, you have confrontations. Expect it. It's going to happen. And pray for wisdom. Because quite often, I believe, like Jeremiah's experience, you have Hananiah. I would guess he was a very strong personality. Quite often that's the characteristic of false teachers or those who are a leader of cults. They've got this strong personality and they get up and they speak and they can be very intimidating. So we need the grace of God that we might stand, that we might speak. And there's something else I think that we need wisdom from God. And that is, you notice, Jeremiah, he walked away. There comes a time in speaking and in confrontations, you walk away. Time to speak, time to be silent. There is a time when you don't cast pearls before swine. We need the grace of God to help us to do what is right in such situations. I was telling James, I think it was a week or so ago, I was leaving the gym, walking out the parking lot, and a man asked me a question about the Bible. I answered him as best I could. And there was a man in front of us, and said bye to my friend, and he comes up to me, and if I remember what all took place, he says, you know, a lot of people misunderstand the Bible. I said, well, that's true. Well, you know, the book of Revelation trumps everything else. I said, no, it doesn't. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I gave him Scripture. And he was telling me how I had to come under this rule of the fourth beast. I said, no, I don't. I'm under the rule of Christ. And I spoke to him of the necessity of the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. Spoke as plainly as I possibly could of my need for the righteousness of Christ. And here we are in this parking lot. I'm heading toward my truck. Well, you're going to hell! Oh, well, thank you. And about that time, a lady gets out of her car with her kid to take him to the nursery, go to the gym, and here's this guy shouting at me, I'm going to hell. And she looks at me, and she shelters and hustles the little kid away. I just got in the truck and got out of there. What am I going to do? Get in a fight with the guy? There's a time when you walk away. There are some people, you don't cast pearls before the swine. And so we need wisdom from God, you see. To speak, yes, to be bold, but also to know when it's over and when to shut your mouth. And then there's something else we need to remember as we head into the weeks ahead. And it has to do with the promises of God. Here, Hananiah, you're going to die within the year. A couple months later, why wait 2 months? Why didn't the Lord just slap him right dead then? Other than maybe 2 months, Hananiah, you can think about what you've done. Hananiah, you can think upon your ways. Hananiah, you might cry for mercy. Time was given, but God fulfilled His word. And for our encouragement, let us remember that God always fulfills His word. And in the coming weeks, you may find yourself in a situation that, boy, you need God's help. And only God can help you. And you have promises. Pray over those promises. Plead those promises. And then wait. Be patient, as we said this morning. You be patient. God always fulfills His word. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Savior, we thank You for putting us into the battle. That You have given us Your truth and we love it. We seek to walk in the light of it. And Lord God, when we do meet opposition, help us to be wise, not ashamed of the truth, but Lord God, help us to be discerning and to know when the confrontation is over. And help us to truly rest in Your promises that You always fulfill Your word. And again, as we go forth, we remember we have enemies. We have those that hate You, but Lord God, we love You, and we ask for grace to be faithful to You. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.